The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Fly the W670 podcast. It is season 4, episode 11. Cubs pitchers and catchers report to Mesa. Don't forget to listen, download, review. Most importantly, subscribe to the podcast. Follow on all the socials. Fly the W670 Twitter, Instagram, and of course, we're on Facebook. You can also email Crowley and I, flythew670@gmail.com. All right, Crowley, the Super Bowl is out of the way. It was a dud. So now it is time to get down to business.
Hey, you know, to me, I was never interested. The commercials stunk. Everything stunk. I'm just glad it's over. And pitchers and catchers report for duty. While most of America was getting ready for the big day, the Cubs pitchers and catchers were the first players to report to spring training. The first guy in the building before the sun came up. How about Craig Counsell, right? Look at that.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw him walking in. I retweeted it. Yep.
Mm-hmm. There he is. I mean, I like that. You know, first one in and hopefully, like I said, ready to kind of get rocking. And so I was excited. You know, I saw it's hard because I know I'm not going to be going out there this year, but seeing my guys, Rich Biesterfeld and Steve Scherr and John Antonoff, all the guys that are the usual suspects down there. I mean, I'm just super excited that they're just having fun. You know, that's kind of when they get to kind of enjoy everything that's going on. So it was, I thought it was kind of cool to see as far as that's concerned. But, you know, now you get to see it. There's content all out there and you're getting to see the players come up there, man. It's just like one big reunion, you know?
Right. We've already got some talking, some controversy. Well, what did Craig mean when he said this? What did Jed mean when he said that? It looks like we have an opening day starter announced. I mean, it sounds like Shota's for sure going to pitch, but today I saw Shota on Marquee actually talking about taking the ball on opening day in Japan. So maybe that's out of the bag. I mean, you know, Counsell said there's no doubt he's going to throw, just a matter of would he throw in the first game or would he be throwing in the second game? So it is pretty cool. It gets you stoked, and we're supposed to get some snow this week here in town. Haven't had much snow this year, so we'll want to get rid of that quickly and get on to baseball.
Yes, sir. And the Cubs did release their spring training roster. So for those of you that aren't familiar with it, when you talk about the spring training roster, you have your 40-man roster plus your spring training invites, right? Your non-roster invitees. And so it's always really cool if you ever go out to Sloan, and you can go, and anyone can do this. There's the coolest thing about Sloan Park, and I'm putting this up here on the 670 Score of the YouTube channel, but there's what's called the backfield. So you have this, you have Sloan, which is the ballpark, right? And then you have two main fields. Now, especially field two, you can't really see much of. It's not something you're really allowed to take a look at. But when you go in the backfields, it's a diamond, like a clover shape, four diamonds, and all home plates are all kind of facing the same direction. But that's where you can sit there and run. And the Cubs on their website every day, they kind of have the practice schedule. And so you could see, you know, who's going to be out where, you know, pitcher fielding drills, all that stuff. And so it's a lot of fun. So the spring training roster is made up of the 40-man roster, right? But then you have these non-roster invitees that are players that were invited. And a lot of times they're either some of your top prospects or they're guys, veteran players who are trying to make the club or even trying to catch on somewhere, even if it's minor league. So that's kind of the fun thing. So if we take a look, the Cubs did release their non-roster invitee list. And so, Dustin, when you kind of look at those here and you say to yourself, all right, who are some of these guys? Some of them are going to be familiar. Some of them are not going to be familiar. When you look at the catchers, if we start with the catchers, there are two prospects. One of them is Moises Ballestero, who's a top 10 prospect for the Cubs. The other is Pablo Aliendo, great guy. People love throwing to him. So those two guys are not on the 40-man roster. And then Reese McGuire is a veteran and Carlos Perez is a veteran. They're going to be battling out to see who is going to get that veteran catcher spot in Iowa, right? And so that's what you look at when you look at the catchers. When you look at the outfielders, there's two outfielders on the non-roster invitee, Brett Bateman and Christian Franklin. When you talk about Brett Bateman, you have a guy that he's a center fielder. He was a Cubs eighth round picked in 2023. So he's a good prospect. He's on the top 30 list. And so he played for South Bend in Tennessee last season. And then Christian Franklin was a fourth round draft pick in 2021. He played mostly right field in Tennessee. And so, you know, they just brought him up to kind of just get a feel of what that is like. As far as infielders, I don't think we have to say much about Matt Schaar, James Triantos, not on the 40-man roster, but boy, who is going to get cut when Matt Schaar gets put on there, right? Somebody's got to get cut.
Somebody's got to get cut.
But also interesting was Jonathan Long. He was a Cubs ninth-round draft pick in 2023. He played first base for South Bend and Tennessee last season, but he was selected to play in the Arizona Fall League. So the Cubs sent him out to Mesa to play in that as a third baseman, and he looked really good. He actually made the Arizona Fall Star team. And so the fourth infielder that's going to be in there is Nicky Lopez. He rounds out the infielders for the non-roster invitees. And so those are the infielders. We got the catchers. And then with the pitchers, as far as the pitchers are concerned, this is where it kind of gets interesting because obviously Cade Horton is one of the top prospects in the Cubs system. Some people say he is number one. And then you also have Brandon Birdsell. He was the Cubs minor league pitcher of the year last year. And then when you talk about other prospects, as far as pitchers are concerned, you have Riley Martin is on there. He's a lefty. And then Brandon Hughes was drafted by the Cubs in 2017. He looked good in 2023, but injuries, he had a knee injury. I don't know if you remember that, kind of derailed him. He ended up in Arizona. Now he's back. And then the rest of the guys, the Phil Bickers of the world, the Ben Hellers, the Brad Keller, Trevor Richards, Antonio Santos, those guys are all veterans that just never really kind of broke through. And so they're going to try with the Cubs to see what happens. But Dustin, the reason we have to look at the pitchers right now is because usually when you go into MLB camp, you say to yourself, okay, where are the spots? Who's competing for what spot? And you and I have brought it up on this show before. There's not a ton of open spots that nope. you can.
There are not.
But the one place where Craig Counsell and his staff are going to have to make some difficult decisions is the bullpen. Okay. And so Andy Martinez, friend of the pod he wrote an interesting piece for Marquee talking about the bullpen depth and the logjam of relievers the Cubs have. And so here's the problem. There are 8 spots for the bullpen and 7 players with no minor league options. So that's the issue here. So if you take a look at the 8 spots and you kind of try to project this out here, Presley's your closer. And then you got Porter Hodge and Ryan Brazier being your setup man. So they got Brazier from the Dodgers, Porter Hodge, homegrown. You have Caleb Thielbar, who they signed. He's a lefty, so you got to have a lefty in the bullpen. Tyson Miller was huge last year. We talked about Julian Merriweather as a guy that really came out in 2023, but injuries derailed his 2024 season. And then Keegan Thompson. So, again, set up Porter Hodge, set up Ryan Brazier. You got Thielbar, Miller, Merriweather, and Keegan Thompson in relief. And then you got another lefty, possible 6th starter in Colin Rea, right? Out of those 8 pitchers right there, 8 spots, only 7 of those players have no minor league options. The only one with the minor league option is Porter Hodge. So the rest of the guys, if they get sent down, they have to pass through waivers. And chances are, most of these guys are not going to pass through.
Right, they're going to get picked up, right?
And so here's the list of names, some of them, Dustin, that are probably not going to be on the opening. The one guy that I look at, right, is Keegan Thompson. Keegan Thompson, to me, is a guy that...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If I'm looking at it, I don't know, because he doesn't have options, I don't know if I'd want to put him on there. I'd rather leave that spot for guys that do have options, because you're not going to want to, you're not going to be sending Porter Hodge up and down. You're just not, unless there's a real big problem. And so these are some of the names, Dustin, that when you look at it, you're going to say they don't have a spot on the roster come opening day. Nate Pearson. Okay. He was huge last year. Ben Brown, Luke Little. They just acquired Eli Morgan. Ethan Roberts, all of those guys have options. And so the question is, you know, when I take a look at Presley, Hodge, Brazier, those guys aren't going anywhere. Thielbert's going to be your lefty. Tyson Miller, I mean, you know, do you want to – he was one of the best relievers out there last year on the season. And Merriweather, like I said, the only one I could think of is Colin Rea. You know, that's the only one to me that I can – when I look at this list, that's the only one that I can see – the only one I could really see to me is Keegan Thompson, not being a guy.
Yeah, it's good to have options, but these are going to be some tough choices.
And that's where, like I said, I think that's going to be the toughest thing if you take a look at it. Now, I have Assad being the fifth starter, and so, yeah, Brown is a right-handed pitcher. Hodge has got options. Gavin Hollowell, 40-man, not a big deal. Caleb Killian's on the 40-man. Julian Merriweather, like I said, no more options. Tyson Miller, no more options. Eli Morgan does. Jack Neely wouldn't be on the team. Daniel Palencia wouldn't be on the team. Nate Pearson wouldn't start out on the team.
Right.
Presley and Rea would. And those are your righties, Ethan Roberts. And then when you kind of go to your lefties, like I said, Luke Little, you know, you think, wow, that's a guy that you would assume would start. What about Jordan Wicks, Dustin?
Right. Yeah. I mean, These are, boy, I didn't realize this, Crowley. There's a lot of tough moves here.
And again,
especially because of the option thing. I mean, I don't think a lot of people know that.
Right. It's the option thing that's going to throw you off. It is to sit there right now. You have one guy that you can pass through without going through waivers, and that's Porter Hodge. And like I said, if he's the guy that you send down, that means that there's a huge, huge problem. And so to me, I got a feeling Keegan Thompson is not going to be on the opening day roster. I don't know who they're going to put on. Now, one thing to kind of keep in mind, Dustin, is when they go to Japan, they're allowed two more roster spots.
Okay? Oh, two extras. Okay.
Now, they have to be a pitcher and a position player. It can't just be two pitchers, because that would be in an ideal world. That's what I would do, because we'll talk about this when we talk about how some of the comments made by Jed and Carter in segment two. But the problem is that a lot of these starters are not going to be ready like you would in a normal opening day. Like I'd be shocked that whoever starts it, we know that it's going to be Justin Steele and we know it's going to be Shohei Minagara, the two guys, barring any godforsaken, you know, anything. Those are the two guys that are going to start game one or two. In my opinion, Shota's starting game one. After what he did last year and the fact that it's his home country and it's such a big deal, it's like such a huge honor. I can't imagine him not doing it, you know?
He's starting for sure. It's a question of starting game one or starting game two?
I'm saying game one. Game one starter, game number one in Japan is going to be Shohei Minaga. Justin Steele's not my best friend. I've talked to him before. I've interviewed him before. I think the Cubs realize the honor it is to be able to pitch in front of your home country. Like he was a guy that really just, you know, did such a great job in Japan, was so proud, you know, being on Team Japan, all the stuff. I just think there's no way you don't give him the game one start. But either way, if you're talking about Shota and Justin Steele, you'd be lucky at this point, because they're start, you know, they have to go in the middle of, you know, the 15th, you know, really early on when the season starts, they're not going to be able to go 6-7 innings. That's not happening. They're going to have to go 4-5. If you're really, really lucky, Dustin, 6. Okay. But that's not a lot. I mean, that you're really hoping that you can get 6 out of any of these guys here. I'm just thinking to myself, you're going to need pitchers that are going to be able to throw innings. And so I'm wondering if, you know, how Ben Brown's feeling, if he's a guy like you're going to need a guy that can throw, to me, multiple innings. This isn't going to be a one inning guy that you're going to call on to be that extra pitcher right there. So you're talking that game in Japan is going to be the 18th. And so they started throwing recently, right? So they got, if their first day of really pitching, let's say in all first pitchers and catchers, the 9th, it's just not a huge amount of time that you would normally have. Even just opening days, like normal opening days, like without this Japan series, you still have another 2 weeks to go. So I'm gonna say that, you know, when I look at the pitchers that could potentially be that extra person. Now, there's another issue, Dustin, that's come up, and it came up today. We just found out it came up today, and that is the Cubs already have some injuries, which is why.
Yep, I saw that.
It's why you need the depth. And so when you look at the injuries, that's where you sit there and you say to yourself, oh, boy. And so that's why you need depth. That's why this team is projected to win 90 games is because of the depth. Javier Assad is dealing with some oblique soreness. This is from Maddie Lee on her Twitter. But oblique soreness, Dustin, I never like oblique soreness.
Yeah, I mean, their whole, all their motion, every time they're moving, that's going to be in play, right? So that's not a great way to start things off.
Brandon Birdsell is dealing with an issue back of the shoulder area. I don't know, again, what exactly that means, if it's just a general soreness. But like, you know, Birdsell was a guy that you were hoping, you know, just could kind of get some, you know, get to pitch with the big league camp. You know, it's cool, like, to sit there and be able to be like, yeah, I'm throwing with Shota and I'm throwing with Justin Steele, and these guys talk to each other and they talk right about pitch grips, and you know, you get more time with Tommy Hotovy and all the older coaches are over there, whether it's Fergie or Rick Sutcliffe or those guys that go out there. You know, they're already out there. So to me, it's kind of like, okay, you weren't counting on Birdsell to be a part of the 40 man or to be a part of the opening day roster, or even a guy that you would say, eh, I don't think he'd be called up. Like, say, like, he wouldn't be one of the first guys you called up. We already went through that list. Mm-hmm. And so to me, you got to sit there and say to yourself, okay, let's assume that Javier Assad's not ready to go for Japan. That gives you two pitchers now that you're looking at, because you're going to have two starters. But I wonder, Dustin, now that I think about it, could you possibly use, and I know it's not normal, but could you use four of your starters? Could you say to yourself, okay, we're going to go with Justin Steele and Jameson Taillon on one day and Shota Imanaga and Boyd the next day, right? Because why not? Why couldn't you go with both your starters? Because you don't need them again.
Right. Yep, you could do that.
I mean, you know, if not, then my belief would probably be a guy that could throw multiple innings, a guy that would normally be a starter. So would it be Ben Brown? Would it be Colin Rea? You know, I think I'd want to use Colin Rea more for something like a, I don't know, so it's another lefty option and not just have one lefty in the bullpen and Thielbar. So things that we got to look at, things that are going to be interesting, but I just,
these are good problems though, right? These are good problems. Not the Assad injury, but these names, right? And who's up, who's down, who can you afford to put through waivers? These are good things.
Yeah, and I like I said, I'm excited about Japan, but just seeing those guys out there throwing here, and Marquis's been doing a great job covering it for anyone that's been watching. Our guy Cole Wright was on Sunday. Just so much fun to kind of just see them going. And then to be able, like I said, it's what I love about having Marquis. I know sometimes people go like, oh, I miss WGN. WGN wouldn't have broken into whatever they were programming to have Jed and Carter. WGN wasn't gonna break in to be able to listen to Craig Counsell. The fact that we have this is something that I really enjoy.
Yeah, it's a wonderful option. I totally agree. Even Crowley, believe it or not, yesterday, as I was watching way too much Super Bowl preview, you know, pregame stuff, hype, clicking between Fox and the Four Letter Network and NFL Network, I saw that Marquis was going to carry the stuff. I stepped away from my football fix for a little bit, and I went over there and I saw it, and I was glad that I did.